start the recording. And welcome to Journeys with JP.
All right.
Really? Well, I'll just go and check the stream to make sure that everything's running, and I'll just be with you in a second. Stan, Revolution Radio A, and Studio A, and Studio B. Just checking that here. Oh yeah, there we go. Well, that was. I'm just checking the stream. So I am on, and you are listening to Journeys with JP. We are still playing a tune now. There we go. This is Journeys with JP on Wolf Spirit Radio, on Revolution Radio at freedomsips.com, at Tirana Sour Radio. Let me just connect that link up there, and we'll be welcome to Tirana Sour in Ireland. And indeed, Freedom Slips at freedomslips.com. We have lots of ways you can help the station to keep running. We're listener supported, listener donated. So if you please would like to join us with some sort of donation, you can give us straight money if you like. But we also have things you can buy. Sometimes there's a special offer of silver bars, you know, get an ounce of silver for a mere $50. You know, obviously that's a lot more than, you know, you could pay for it, but it's a $50 donation and you get the free silver bar, which is a pretty good, yeah, basically you're giving us $25. So, tonight, I've got several subjects I'd like to talk about. The first thing that's been on my on the front of my mind for the last few days is a very special event that I just announced on Facebook and on Revolution Radio Studio A when I was on Strange Universe just now, is that we have a very special event on WolfSpiritRadio.tv on Friday for a webinar with Alex Collier. Alex Collier, the elder statesman of contactees. He's been around many, many years, and he has really been through the mill. You know, if anybody ever wants to know what it's like to be a targeted individual, listen to his accounts. That's what they do. So, do go along. I'll just put the link in there. But basically, go along to Wolf Spirit Radio. Go to the listening area, and there you can follow the links. You can see a picture of Alex Collier. But I'm just about to pick up the thing there. I'm just pasting it in the Revolution chat room there, and in the Wolf Spirit chat room. Hello, everybody. And so that's really the first exciting piece of news. We had a long conversation this afternoon because, I mean, basically we're just footling around and trying to get all the systems lined up and, you know, getting all the links and the URLs and sort of building web pages while we're doing this. And so, you know, he had plenty of time to, you know, just drop a few nuggets of wisdom. And it's actually what he was saying is that... okay, all right, let me I just realized, for the benefit of people who don't know who I'm talking about, where have you been? but if you don't know who I'm talking about, Alex Collier he started out as a really ordinary guy. He was a tax collector, I think. Or he worked for the IRS, anyway. Oops. And in a cruel twist of fate, he started... helping people who he was working with, and would help people not pay so much tax. And you know, obviously, as we're all aware, that the IRS is essentially an illegal organization of what they call it, RICO, organized crime. So basically, yeah. So he would help people, and when the people he was working with found out, they totally what they call blackballed him, and he couldn't get a job, he couldn't do anything, and just he kept being vilified, and they threatened him and his family. So that's why you didn't see Alex for a lot of time, and then he comes back, and then he gets threatened again, and then he goes away, and all sorts of things. So, if you wish to see and listen to Alex for an hour and a half on Friday. It'll be 11 PST for an hour and a half. That's all the time he's got in the local library, so we can't do it any longer. If you come up with a really good question, because like there's going to be hundreds of questions, we're not going to take questions that are two paragraphs. We're not going to take questions that have been asked before. We're going to, you know, we want to try and move forward. And it's actually a sign of how awake and aware people are as to the questions that they ask. So I'm really looking forward this week to seeing some really good questions being asked, because without the asking of the questions, the information can't flow. You have to spark this thing up. So what Alex was saying is that he's had all these conversations with these two beings, Theseus and Morine from Andromeda, and they are 9 feet and 7 feet respectively. One was really old. The smaller guy is an old guy. He's kind of shriveled. You know, they kind of shrivel up after a while. But the younger guy was sort of tall and lanky. But the old one's since passed from his plane. Obviously not from our planet. But anyway, he said various things. And one of the things that Alex was saying is that he spoke and would communicate with telepathy at the same time. So while Alex was listening with his ears and interpreting with his brain, with his brain, he would actually be downloading at the same time, or Theseus would be loading into his brain all the telepathy that would be combined with what he was saying. So for instance, you might say one word, let's say the word warehouse, right? So to warehouse something is a verb. You know, there's all these different meanings of what warehouse is. My brain hurt like a warehouse, a David Bowie lyric. You know, there's all these different connections. And when you speak telepathically, all of those connections come all at the same time. And so what Alex got was essentially a download about many, many subjects. And he said that during the ensuing years, all of those downloads, they all kind of, they settle and find their little place in his consciousness. But they're all there, except, you know, how do you get this stuff out? You have to ask questions. Once you got a key, once there's a key, you can, you know, it's like, say you were given a screen, and this screen, say you looked at Google, all right? You know, you've imagined Google for the first time. And you see a box in the middle, and it's just a blank box, and, you know, you just, what do you type in there? What do you ask? We often, you know, the first time you see a search engine, that's the first thing, you know, what do I put in there? What's this? And actually you realize in the end that you can actually ask a natural language question, you know. For instance, how can I make a vegetarian lasagna? You know, you can type that into Google and you'll get loads and loads of responses, because that's what Google's about. It's about questions and answers. So when, for the same reason, you can't just go to Google and tell me stuff. You know, so, well, I suppose you could. Somebody try it. Just go to Google and type tell me stuff. See what happens. You have to ask it a specific question. And if you ask the more specific questions, you get to more and more salient, specific, relevant answers. It's all about asking the right questions. So, brothers and sisters, come along on Friday. It's only $12. I mean, it's really dirt cheap. We made it so that it's going to raise money for Alex. We are not going to get a penny. We is James Harkin and myself. James Harkins runs alexcollier.org. And I run, as you know, Wolf Spirit Radio. And so it's a joint effort, and we hope to bring more people in like this and do masterclass webinars beyond the stuff that you get in the regular interviews. We want some really deep information coming out here so that people are satisfied. You know, people often have, you know, the answers are too generic. You know, you want some really specific answers. And like I said, try to keep your answers really short. The other point is we will not ask questions. We will not answer questions about people. What do you think of such and such? What do you think of the work of so and so? No. Just ask the question. The other thing. The earth is not flat. It really isn't. It's a psyop, people. It's just a psyop. So, obviously, any flat earthers need not apply, because obviously, you know, Alex is a globist, as I'm a globist, or a spherist, I don't know. Everything else seems spherical, why not this? So I'm not going to be answering questions. I'm not going to be forwarding questions at all. I'll be moderating the questions, folks, so you can be assured that there will be no stupid stuff. We're not going to, you know, deal in idiocy here. Right, let me just say a word or two about the dreaded flat earth, and I'm not going to answer phone calls if somebody calls in, by the way. I don't give a toss about your idiotic ideas. Right, so here's the thing. The flat earth is a Catholic doctrine. Okay? It's a Catholic doctrine. It hasn't changed from the declarations of the popes in the 14th century. Still the same. They still believe the earth is flat. And therefore, if what the Pope says is true, then according to the Catholic Church, we live on a flat earth. That's it. So, now you know where the information comes from. Now you know how NASA is connected. The whole thing is a psyop. It's designed to find gullible people who can still be put a hook in your lip and drag you to their agenda. So, people, please, come on. You know, all right, let me just bang a few out. The lighthouse problem. Lighthouses, my friends, are built on hills. They're built on rocky cliffs. They're built hundreds of feet up off the water surface. And also due to reflection. The light will curve around a little bit. So yes, you can see lighthouses from a long way away. They're designed that way. Okay, going up in an aeroplane and you see a flat plane all around you. Okay, you will not see the curvature of the earth unless you're miles up. And planes don't go miles up. 40,000 feet. Now, let me just do a quick analysis here. 40,000 feet. Now, 1,700 yards. That's 3. Say 6,000 feet. So, 40,000 feet is about, rough guide, about 6 miles. 5-6 miles. All right? You can't see the curvature of the Earth if you're 5-6 miles up on a 24,000-mile circumference sphere. You've no idea what that looks like. 10 miles. Still won't get you up there. You still won't see the curvature of the Earth from an aeroplane because it just doesn't go far enough up. And you can see it if you're in the space station, which is up several hundred miles. Well enough to see it. But come on. All right, so again, when the boat goes away from you and you watch it disappear onto the horizon, what you see disappear first is the boat itself, and then you see the mast, and then you don't see anything. That's because it's going around a curve. All right? Simple. Okay, so hopefully I have destroyed the main stupid flat-tard... Hey. I'm often not opinionated, but this week I've decided to be opinionated. Right, okay, so... yeah. What convinced me of a roundabout explaining the flat earth would not have wind? Yes, indeed. Sorry, though, I just thought of the most idiotic argument. How does all that water sit there hanging in space? Huh? It's on the bottom of the planet. Really? Okay. So, now let me just explain. When you're in space,
Gravity operates in all directions. When you're on a planet, gravity operates towards the center of the body that you're standing on.
Right, okay. Gravity does not schlep liquids off a planet. It just doesn't. It's like, it's not a drop that's hanging on, you know, there's no ground in a galaxy. The ground is here on the planets that you're standing on. It's very strange. And it's rather exasperating because people are applying, basically, the physics that you observe as you're standing on the surface of a spherical object is a special form of physics. And in space, those forms don't apply because the forces that are applying on when you're standing, as I said, gravity, you're being pushed down onto the surface of the planet, acting towards the center of the body. From all directions, that's gravity. It comes from all directions from the galaxy and the universe. Acts instantaneously from all points. So, right. I'm in a loop. Everybody there? Yes? No? No? Well, there we go. Yes. I'm just going to have a quick look at the Revolution chat room to see if anybody's picking me up on this. There we go. 200 miles. No. Yeah. With some proof out of mouth, but with all respect, that's all you'll kick me for responding to your question. No, no. All right. All right. Come on. All right. So, So basically, water does not drip off a planet, right? It's being pushed onto the planet the same way we are. The amount of water that's in all of the oceans on the Earth is only a small amount compared with the actual size of the planet. The planet is not flat. It's not a bowl-shaped. It's a sphere. Any pilot will tell you. Some pilots have even flown right around the world. My brother went round the world in a boat in 1967. He didn't fall off the edge. He came back. He said, "Hey, you've been round." He went to, you know, Peru and Hawaii and Australia and India and came back for Africa, you know, all that stuff. All right. So in space, there's no gravitational pulling in any other direction than, well, everywhere. You know, there's no directional gravitation. You know, and in fact, people, you know, ships, spaceships use gravitation to bounce off. And there was one thing that I heard is that the Earth has a very, very dense gravitational field. Apparently that's why people crash. That's why a little crash landing here, because they don't expect to hit such a heavy gravity. And thus was the fate of the crew that landed in what is now known as the Bodh Gaya incident. And this was like a long, long, long time ago, 500 million years ago. And potentially the first inhabitants of Earth came from this. The story goes that they're a 12th dimensional group, and they caught the edge of the gravity well. Their automated ship landed to try and repair itself and couldn't. And just remained. And probably still exists there. A friend of mine visited India and told me that Bodh Gaya is the place in India where there are more temples than anywhere. It's like an ambassador. It's an embassy of where all the different religions come from. So there's something there. There is the center of... So the Bodh Gaya incident, you can check out Bases, I think Bases 16, Eva Zemanova is describing this thing. And basically what she said, they were 12th dimensional light-bodied beings that stepped off the ship and bang, the artificial gravity that they were in gave way to Earth's heavy three-dimensional gravity, and they were crushed. Some of them survived, but they were incredibly traumatized. And these were the proto-life beings that they called, that they said that they found, that the original Anunnaki found, produced the helper race.
So they were the original inhabitants of Earth, but they weren't really like higher humans. They're kind of re-evolving back up, but they were already evolved, if you see what I mean, before they started this thing. So, this group of people were kind of apparently very dumbed down. They didn't have very much higher functions because basically they were disconnected from the rest of their energetic system and had to rely on physical brains, which, as you know, have quite a limited capacity. So these poor fellows basically evolved since then 500 million years. And it's been a bit of an issue. So, with that, all right, got 100 miles off Hawaii, Los Angeles building. All right, astronomy too. Anyway, okay, so, yeah, well, if you want to talk naval intelligence, here's a naval intelligence thing. They took soundings of the entire ocean subsurface, the bottom of the ocean, and they took core samples and they aged them. Guess what? The oceans are young where the rifts are and old where the edges are. And we see there's a thing that they call the continental shelf. So about 200 miles off the coast of Europe and off all the other continents is a kind of, it's like, it looks like a tear. And in fact, if you take the land away 10 million years at a time, so take the young land away, so go to the rift and find the place where it's 10 million years old and cut that strip out and join that together. And continue doing that for another 7 cycles, i.e. about 70 million years. And you will end up with a smaller globe of Earth and all of the continents fit together perfectly. Don't believe me? Type expanding Earth into Google and watch for 10 minutes that will change your life. It's obvious. And now when you look at Google Earth, you can see, wow, that's torn. So here's a mind picture for you. Take a balloon in your mind. A nice red balloon, maybe. Make a blue balloon. Let's make it more realistic. Okay, take a blue balloon. Blow up about until it's spherical. Dip it into green paint. Let the paint dry. Now, very gently, start inflating the balloon some more. You will see that the flakes of paint gather together in little clumps, or large clumps, and they gradually move away from each other. There. That's what the planet has done. That's it. That's all that's happened. The planet has inflated. Now, the mechanism of inflation, what is that? I don't know. Maybe it's just got too much yeast. Maybe what was inside the asteroid that originally caused that cracking 65 million years ago, a big thing happened. An asteroid hit the planet in the Gulf, in Yucatan, and the planet just started cracking from there. And that's where the planet started to expand, a little at a time. Maybe an inch every decade. But over a million years, that's a large amount of surface. So that's the story of the expanding Earth people. It's just like everything. Everything expands in the universe. The sun is expanding. The galaxy is expanding. So why not the Earth expanding? The sun is a sphere. The galaxy is spherical, by the way. You only see the 10% that is visible in the middle, but all the rest of it. Well, basically you can visualize the galaxy as a huge sphere. And right in the middle, between the two hemispheres, that's where we see life, as we know it. But in the northern end, and in the southern end, it's like magnetic like that, just like poles. There's north material, and then there's south material.
things that have a natural diamagnetic charge that will, you know, things are magnetically charged. So if you have something that is like, there's a north zone and a south zone, depending on how much charge it carries, it will be drawn into the north or south zone. So okay, so how's everybody? I'm just checking. I'm just seeing. I see structure is variant. Okay, good, good. So, it's explaining what makes it possible. Earth. Yes. Okay, so what's the mechanism? You know, I'm still not sure about exactly the mechanism. Many people have put forward various things. I had a Scottish girlfriend a few years ago that I explained this to, and she says, oh, like a haggis when you put it in the pan. So, forever, this is known as the expanding haggis theory, which indeed, what happens if you put a haggis, the grain will swell up, and the grain content of it will swell up and cause the skin to stretch and eventually tear. And if it doesn't tear, then you're very lucky, and you can tear it with your knife when you stab the wee beastie. The wee timorous beastie. Anywho, So is the Earth hollow? I'm not entirely sure. So a lot of people are convinced. Billy Fay Woodard, for one, is. He was on our show, he was on our station in 2010, 2012. he described himself as an ambassador for the Hollow Earth during the time he lived in Area 51 and stayed there and communicated with the Hollow Earth and all of that stuff. But the idea of an expanding bauble that has a what seems to be like a sun on the inside, they call it the smoky god. It's like a kind of, you know, I don't know where how the smoke comes off it, but they say it's a smoky ball of fire that gives a kind of afternoon daylight to the inner earth. Now, descriptions of the inner earth by various people describe something like how we see Avatar, with the mile-high trees and stuff like that. Everything seems to be bigger on the inside. Sounds familiar. Bigger on the inside. Yes, hang on, where's that? Let's see. Well, let's see if I can find something that's bigger on the inside. Yes, number 6. Yeah. Okay, so now we've landed the TARDIS. We can go places. So if we say we took a TARDIS and we, sat outside of our galaxy looking in, what would we be seeing? We'd see a big, I don't know if we'd see the bubble of it. We probably wouldn't. It wouldn't be visible. But we would see a spiral. And the spiral, let me just look at the spiral a second. You know, people think, oh, it's got multiple arms. No, it's actually only two. Very much like a Catherine wheel. We call them a Catherine wheel in Britain. I don't know if you call them. But it's a firework that is, well, it's a spiral. It's, you know, take a long tube, fill it with gunpowder, wrap it once on itself so that it's folded in half, and then wrap that round a little disc, and then tape it to the disc. That's a Catherine wheel. And you put a pin in the middle, nail in the middle, and you light the ends. And out of the two sides of the tube of gunpowder will come the ejecting force. Now, essentially, that's what's going on inside a galaxy. You know, you've seen things like pulsars. You know, we see a pulsar, and it's spraying stuff out of the top and the bottom. You know, and that's essentially what happens. There comes a time when when galaxies start doing this thing. They start kind of spraying stuff out the top of the bottom, and they start spinning. And you will see that at some point, when something is spinning and spraying,
it will form a spiral of material that is passing away from the center all the time. And that's really what a galaxy is. And the material that is being poured out eventually forms stars. And that starts rotating, and stars start rotating, and start producing solar systems. And I believe stars spit out stars, and they spit them out in the form of a planet. I believe a planet is a seed of a star, star seed, and that eventually the Earth will become a star, in the same way that Jupiter and Saturn are sort of radiant in that way. Ah, so let me just see if we can... The Doctor, greetings.
Yes, yes. I just landed.
He just
How
landed.
Did you pick up the audio for it?
It's always good to have a handy TARDIS jingle, I always say.
Yeah. The thing's been so dependable, it's amazing. Haven't quite gotten the wobble out of it yet. But.
It's amazing for a balsa wood box. So yeah, Doc, we're we're just laying. Because the tension builds up after a while, and it comes to the point of really seriously. Do you really want me to weigh in on this? Okay, let's weigh in on it. So I thought I'd weigh in on it. I don't have very much time for it. Anybody
that's
who starts
right.
talking about it gives me a headache. You know, and
yeah.
that's my early warning BS system, BS
like
detector.
A clot in the churn.
Yeah. So Doc, what's your angle on this?
On which?
On the, where were we? Well, I was talking about galaxies just now, wasn't I? How galaxies are formed and how galaxies spit stars out and stars spit out planets that become stars.
Well, I for one know we've got more to learn than we have learned thus far. The more you learn, the more you realize you got a lot more to learn.
That's true, and well, I mean, this is why we do what we do, because you know I'm learning, and I do this show because I'm reporting as I'm learning. That's why you only get like half-baked ideas, mostly, because I've just come up with them that day, and they're just forming, and, you know, maybe a few months or weeks later down the line, they've actually managed to form and become something real.
Yeah, I'm that way. I think of somebody's name that I met 2 weeks later. I think of their name.
So, yeah, and do you... Have you been... we're moving into and where I was going with this is that in this galaxy we are spinning. You know, we're orbiting around a star that is called Alcyone. When I say we, I mean our solar system. Like the planet is orbiting,
right.
It's not really orbiting because everything's moving. We're being schlepped through space.
Yeah, we're accelerating.
Heliconal, indeed. The same as a comet. You see a comet, and you see it schlepping behind it, its tail. That's called a coma. And it's a particular cone shape. And that's the shape of, well, just look. You're pushing material, you know, you've got a star, and it's pushing through a fabric. Imagine you've got a soldering iron. And you've got some, styrofoam. You can push that soldering iron very readily into that styrofoam, can't you?
Yeah, especially if it's plugged in.
Yeah, especially when it's plugged in. I'm assuming it's plugged in and hot. All right, don't be picky. You must be a Virgo. You take a hot soldering iron and put it, it's almost like it doesn't even need to touch the material before the material kind of folds away and melts away.
Yeah.
And that is essentially what is happening. That's what our sun is passing through. And it's been pretty easy until now. It's been pretty empty space. But now we've moved into the membrane that joins the north and south hemisphere of the galaxy.
That membrane is 10,000 light years wide, thick, you know, long, or something. It takes us 1,000 years, or 1,000 years to move through it on the 29,000 year cycle. So it's quite thin, but thick enough for us. And that's what we're moving to. This is where we're moving in this year. And this is why everybody's freaking out, because dirty space means asteroids. And near-Earth objects like you couldn't imagine. So, what have you learned about this in your travels, Doc?
Well, where do you think we're at with the photonic portal? Where does that?
Well, what they call the photon belt is this band. It's the galactic membrane. That basically separates north and south. It's where all the neutral lives. You see. It's not north and it's not south, it's in the middle. So it's got both north and both south in balance. Otherwise it couldn't be here. You see? It would just float up or down. So when we move into this place, that's where everything that is neutral or, you know, non-magnetic will land. And if it's not magnetic, it's electric, you know. There's the other form of stuff in the universe. So we are in a place where all the electricity kind of gathers. And electricity is not a dumb... It's not, you know, it's not just a... If only you knew. But imagine that electricity had a mind... and that it can make its own choices and things like that and live where it wants. Is that we've managed to capture some of it, or we trick some of it into passing around our circuits and, you know, passing through the resistance that makes our light bulbs hot, but it doesn't like it. Anyway, consciousness of electricity.
The electric universe.
Yeah, and the conscious electric universe. This is where I'm going. All right, so...
everything has
consciousness. That's right. Now, the galaxy is a being, you know. Imagine it's like a mind. Now, if I have a thought in my mind, it'll come from a certain point and kind of ripple out through the rest of my mind instantaneously, or as fast as, you know, because I've only got a tiny mind, so it doesn't take long. 3 light inches. Anyway, if you scale that up to the size of a galaxy, the same kind of principle happens, and the central point of the galaxy, which they call the Great Rift or Hunabku or the Black Hole at the center of the galaxy or whatever, the galactic center, whatever that might be, it sends out a ripple of consciousness every so often. This ripple is about to hit us as well. So not only are we moving down into the photonic belt, we're also going to be hit by the wave of consciousness that is coming through from the solar, from the galactic center. That is like it's like an upgrade, like a downloaded upgrade from Skype Central. You know, everybody gets it. Everybody gets their Skype upgrade, and you don't even need to download it. It just happens automatically. And that is my friend, what I believe is about to happen.
Well, it's going to chase a lot of people back into Walmart.
Well, a lot of people are not going to be able to cope with it. And this is one of the things that I was saying.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
You're right.
This is what I was saying with talking with Alex today, is that a lot of guys... All right, so let's talk about what that actually means to move south. You know, because... All right, I want to... It's funny, there's a lot of misconceptions that people pick up. And you can understand why. Because people have linear minds. So... From a non-linear-minded perspective, let's just have a look at what this shift might entail. Because people are talking about moving from male dominance to female dominance. And then people get the idea of your leather-clad Valkyrie female with the whip. I don't know why.
Well, that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yes, exactly. See? The dominant female.
Just joking.
Yeah. But joking aside, that's a meme. On the other hand, female dominant does not mean that. Feminine dominant does not mean domination.
because feminine isn't about domination. It's about us. It's about collectivism, about being together. And
yeah,
so
I believe that.
And so we have a situation where even dominant females may have problems, because everything goes female, everything goes feminine, and people who are into domination are going to literally explode. They will have brain aneurysms, they will have heart attacks, they will sometimes perhaps even, you know, just literally spontaneously combust. Who knows? But it's going to be ultra challenging for people who have been in one side of their brain all their life. What do you think of that, Doc?
Well, the Bible even says people's hearts will fail them for fear. Like you say, you know, they're just not going to handle it. They're not moving in the direction that makes them aware of what is going to happen. So they're just going to have a heart attack and drop. A lot of people.
Yeah, so a lot of people are going to be leaving the planet. Apparently they're going to be taken to, you know, wherever is appropriate for their level of evolution for the next cycle. And that's the choices that they've made. But listen, I think that most people, I'm going to make a really sort of broad sweeping statement. I'm going to say that most people who would be, everybody who'd be listening to this show, everybody, almost without exception, will pass through this without any problem. Anybody who can stand listening to me will, really.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not, you know, like, it's not, this is not about being egotistical. But the fact that I'm kind of there already in the way that I operate. So I operate both out of my male and out of my female, and they work together most of the time. Sometimes they have a row. Sometimes they kiss and make up. That's very complex. But we all are moving into a place where the left side of our brain and the right side of our brain will be in communication as opposed to being in separation. And that means that we become what we call fully conscious. And that means that we may be conscious of the things that we've done that we weren't conscious of, that we've deliberately forgotten, pushed into our subconscious mind. Because the female side is the subconscious mind, so, and again, a lot of people might have a problem in that process, at that part of the process. So there are a few trips and tracks. But like I was saying, most of the people who are listening to Revolution Radio have an idea of what it's like to operate masculine, feminine, to work as teams with men and women. And that's not, you know, that's not men working and then women working like men. But I'm talking about women working like women, men working like men. Women working like men, men working like women. You know, the Navajo have four genders. They have masculine man, masculine
woman.
Now
that's one I hadn't heard yet.
Masculine man and masculine woman, feminine man, feminine woman.
I haven't heard it put that way.
Yeah, and well, it's actually in all of us. And here's a way of understanding how relationships can get complex. Because I've got a feminine side and a masculine side. My girlfriend has a feminine side and a masculine side. So, her masculine side might address my feminine side and get a response from her, from my masculine side, in jealousy. You think you've got a complex life. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of things make sense to me.
So, that's just looking at the... So the whole idea of, you know, end times and Antichrist. I can see people are talking about Antichrist and stuff like that. I think that's probably a psyop distraction. Alex was saying this plan of the Illuminati has lasted 1,000 years. They put it, you know, it'd take a long time to plan it.
probably not counted on the level of sophistication that we're at, that people who are listening to this show and others like us are at that level. And that's why I think, you know, there's lots of hope for people to survive. And like I was saying in the previous show with on Strange Universe, that the way through this is to not get caught up in the details, to not get caught up in the emotions, to not get caught up in drama. Soon as you're in drama, boom, you're gone. Soon as you're in panic, yeah, boom, you're gone. Soon as you're in fear, boom, you're gone. You have to, and this is the straight narrow path.
If you maintain yourself primarily in the reptilian part of your brain, yeah, fight or flight, fear,
exactly.
Anguish.
Exactly. And at that point, during this September, everything that triggers your reptile brain will come into your field of focus. And it's up to you. Now, this is where all the years of meditation will have come in. Or indeed, the 3 weeks of meditation that you're just about to start doing. Because what you need to be able to do is to stay above the level of your emotions. You need to be in your mental body. You need to be focused in your mental body. And that's what meditation does. So just go to YouTube, type in meditation tape. You don't have to go anywhere. You just need to focus on the point of your forehead. Just take the thing you can do. Lick your finger and touch the point between your eyebrows. They call that the Ajna center, the brow center. And that'll give you a little bit of cold there. And that will help you focus and meditate. So if you find yourself drifting, bring yourself back to that point. Just keep bringing yourself back to that point. If somebody's, you know, if you're in a terrible situation and people are panic, number one, how to calm down. Number one, take a breath in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. Do this along with me, Doc, please. In through the nose and out through the mouth. Now, if you all do this three times, you'll notice your body, your shoulders will start to relax. Just allow your elbows to drop to the floor. You'll find that there was a lot of elevation keeping those elbows up. All right? Keep them relaxed. Keep everything relaxed as much as you can. So, in through the nose, out through the mouth breath, and little moisture on your forehead will keep you focused. You can do this for kids. You know, if there was a place and the kids were panicking, everybody's crying, just go around to all the kids, you know, to tell them to do the breathing. Do this three times, and while you do that, just put a little saliva on their forehead. Because, you know, kids hate that. And it'll focus their minds. It brings their mind to a focal point. And that focal point is out of the astral body. It's in the mind. It's in the head. It's no longer in the astral body. It's in the point of revelation. At that point, you can tell people the truth, and they can hear it. Until that point, you're screwed, because people are panicking. Dun, dun, dun.
Sounds like good advice to me.
So, well, 10-2.
Well, I've always been a meditator. I was an only child, and my mother had me when she was 35, so she was pretty well settled, and she had tons of 78 RPM records, and I'm telling you, almost all of them were classical music, and all that classical music was mellow, you know, easy stuff, not the overture of 1812 or anything. And she played those records while she was pregnant with me, and for many years after, I listened to that. And I kind of got into the rock and, you know, the 50s rock. I was 70 last month. And I kind of got into the 50s rock and roll when I was around my friends. But when I got home, I would listen to jazz as I was in the teenage era. So I never really melded, Vulcan mind melded with popular, you know, whatever was on at the time. And I never really fit into society. because I knew more than the people that were hiring me and were talking to me. I interviewed for one job when I was in my 20s, and there was a wasp that came in and landed on the overhead light over this big shot's desk, and I picked up one of his file folders and put it up under the wasp and waited till the wasp walked onto the file folder, and I walked out with it and turned it loose. So that was the end of that interview. He saw that as some kind of power play, but it was just me. You know, I don't get stung, because when a stinging insect comes around, I don't change my vibrations.
Yes, that's a really good point. I've naturally started to do this recently, because I often complained about the midgie, and they just always bite me. Little bastards.
Is that a fly?
It's a you call them a no-see-em.
Oh, oh God!
Invisible blood sucker. Yeah, exactly. See, see.
Archons.
To be able to keep that attitude with midges around, that's your mastery. So I try to say, you know, oh, hello, you come to play. And actually what they do sometimes, when I say that, you know, I say to them, you come to play. And they kind of scoot around and they buzz off. They don't come and bite me. It's
That's
really
right.
strange.
You don't exude fear ever.
Exactly.
For any reason.
You exude a sense of play, and they're not interested. If you see, because... fear will give them the hormones. Actually, let me just go. Have you ever smelt somebody who was very scared?
I can't say actually smelled the fear, but I sensed it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I've got a very sensitive. I'm colorblind, so I have various other senses that are more acute. One of which is my sense of smell. And one of the things that I also noticed, you know, I also feel my inner senses, and I noticed that when I found somebody who was in a real state of fear, I found myself annoyed. And I was thinking, that's interesting. And I made the connection. You know, they say, don't let the animal smell your fear, because he'll attack.
That's right.
It's because it annoys him. Fear is an annoying vibration. You know,
whether it's a bear or a shark.
Exactly. Oh, man. Hey, have you ever had this dream? You're in a big swimming pool, and you have to get in the swimming pool, and then there's a shark in the swimming pool, and you have to very slowly get out again. You ever had that dream?
No, I haven't had that one.
I had that dream a couple of years ago.
I was on acid one time, and I dove into the apartment complex pool and saved a lightning bug who was stuck out in the middle of the pool.
Oh.
And you just got to blow warm air over them to dry them out a little bit, and they fly away. I have a bee that visits quite often, a honeybee, and I have my mason jar full of lemon water, and it's got two pebbles of shungite in the bottom of it always. And he landed in there twice, and I had to fish him out and blow the hot air on him, and he flew away. He didn't see me.
Interesting, isn't it? So,
it's being one with nature.
Exactly.
We have learned to walk on aluminum foil. You be ready, grasshopper.
What?
That's the updated version. Rice paper's hard to get.
Oh, I see. I walk on aluminum.
Besides, aluminum foil is a lot harder to walk on and not make a sound.
Yeah. Interestingly, aluminum is one of these base metals, the soft metals that they've been feeding us. And
God.
Yeah, it's not as, well, I don't know if it's as bad as mercury. It's a lot more common than mercury in terms of, like, in our systems and in our, you know, we wrap our food in this stuff, you know. People smoke. Yeah. By the way, here's a public service now. If you're a crack smoker and you're using foil, use something else, because the aluminum engine is very bad for you.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to help.
It's going to help. That's really bad for you. Anyway. Meanwhile, back at mild-mannered internet studio here, we are joined still with by and to Doc Who? Are we? Yes. Oh, have you gone? Are you there? Oh, he's gone. Let me just call him back. And maybe we'll be joined for some more people, by some more people in a little while. Alright, so, that's interesting, because I have a, oh, where's he gone? Where's he gone? I have something to say about stuff. So, here's the thing. So, we're talking about the movement, the shift, and we're getting more of an idea of what the shift is, and that indeed the shift is something to do with a change in polarity, that we're going, instead of east to west, or maybe east to west, but we're going from what we used to call the negative ground to a positive ground. This is again something that Alex explained to me many years ago about the way Atlantis fell. Okay. And everything went from positive ground to a negative ground. And that's why the pyramid blew up and destroyed and sank Atlantis. Are we all here? Doc, are you with us?
Well, I kept getting dropped, and then a couple times you guys are recording, the person you're trying to reach is not available.
Okay, I'm going to just put your phone down and pick it up. I'm going to call you back, okay? Okay, so we're going to try and connect with... Don't seem to be getting Revolution Radio. All right, now, Rev Radio doesn't like that. So I'm going to just put it back here. All right, so, okay, welcome back. I've been having a little bit of issue there with Skype and the telephone calls. So what I'd like to do, hopefully, is bring Doc Who back on, and we continue our conversation. We've got some, and also like to bring in, there we go. All right, there we go. Doc, you're with us. Doc Who? Yoo-hoo.
I'm back.
You're good. Right, excellent. So, now, where were we? Talking about the shift, and the shift for me is the shift in polarity from a negative ground to a positive ground. Now, you might remember I was talking a few weeks ago, and I'm wiring up a DC system in my house.
It's breaking up real bad. I don't know what the deal is.
Am I? Oh, interesting. Let me just pause that upload there.
I hear one or two words and then nothing.
Okay. How's that? Is that any better? Okay. Are you still hearing me? Are you still breaking up now?
Not at the moment.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so, yeah, I'm doing an upload. Oh, it's just... Okay, so... In through the mouth... No, in through the nose, and out through the mouth. Everybody, three times. Because this is what we're going to need to do. The tension... is so high these days. Now, in Wolf Spirit, everybody's talking about cussing. Cussing is actually quite good for relieving stress. Take in a deep, good breath through your nose and out through your mouth. Allow a stream of cuss words. Try and do it not in front of the vicar or somebody who might be sensitive to this kind of stuff. And you'll feel a lot better, and it will have caused no harm whatsoever to any other human being on this planet, or even any other being. Because just
like the vicar doesn't cuss.
Yeah. When I was in a bike crash, and when they brought me out of anaesthetic after the operations, apparently I cussed like a sailor, and they say that the. And I spoke to the nurses about it. They said, yeah, it's all right, we're used to it. And apparently the people who cuss the most are the people who don't swear at all, like vicars and people like
wow.
that.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting little factoid?
Yeah.
It's all about repression. So, yeah, so...
That's kind of like Olestra when they had that product out. May cause rectal leakage.
Oh, God, thank you.
Not too many people bought that.
No, that's
they read the label.
Not the best advert. Yeah, so now they wrap it in tiny little letters and in a very long piece of paper that you throw away when you open the packet of pills because you've got a headache. Anyway, meanwhile, choking on the
back at Reality Ranch.
Yeah. All right, if you're eating, Colleen, don't do the breath exercise. Don't do this while you're eating. She says, don't breathe out through your mouth when it's full of crackers.
Or blow milk out your nose.
Oh, God, or spitting your tea. Anywho, so, I really want to get to this because there's a really good point here, and it's quite radical, and I know a lot of guys are not going to like this, so that's why I'm going to say it. Because we need to move attitudes. You probably grew up kind of, quite close with your mom and, got to know what it's like to coexist with female. I can tell that about you. You're aware of female because there are some men who are just, they don't like women. They can't coexist. They can't cooperate. These people have difficulty with relationships. They may be good at picking women up, but they're not good at holding down a relationship. So...
temporary.
Yeah.
Very temporary. Mm. Yeah. We just had our 29th wedding anniversary. It's my second wife.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of years. So it's about... now, the polarity shift will bring about more radical changes than anyone can ever imagine. I was talking to Alex, and he was going, God, it's more than you can imagine. I said, I'm pretty professional with imagining things. This is like, I know I'm part of the new weird, this is like beyond the new normal, which is what you used to call the old weird. So we're now being on the new weird, which is weirder than the old weird. Anyway, but the idea that things are going to get strange, and one of the strangest things is it might be advantageous at certain times if you take an LSD or one of these DMT like things, because I believe that a process such as that may happen to us and we may find ourselves in a very trippy situation. What do you think?
Well, I'm oriented.
Which way?
My wife even says, she thinks I'm different, but she says I like them strange.
You didn't want normal, darling.
No, that's boring.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This is the bit that I want to get to, and this is, you're going to love it. And hopefully going to spark some phone calls, Having rallied against the flat-tards, I'm going to go against macho men now. Right, so here's the thing. I put forward the idea that the key aspect to the increase of male violence on this planet is the meme that men are not supposed to cry. Shall I say that again? The main cause of violence is the meme, the idea that men are not supposed to cry. It came up in a conversation this evening. In fact, it came up in two conversations this evening, so it's definitely salient. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Doc. Have you ever felt kind of violent and then you hear a hammer? Yeah, often, sometimes like this. Sorry, you get this really, sense of violence. I don't really want to hurt something or hurt someone. And you're da da da, and you put in a nail and you hammer your thumb. And you swear and you cuss and the odd tear comes out of your eye. There you go. And you don't want to be violent anymore. And I've been talking...
I never was.
Uh-huh.
I never was, personally.
Well, you may have, you know, you may have got it down. But I believe that the thing that makes men not cry is the things that cause them to be violent. And that if men were allowed to cry by society, we would no longer have violence. And I think that this polar shift is going to... this is how you're going to see it. You're going to see men break down and cry, and they won't die. And you see men who won't break down, and they will die. They will have these aneurysms. They will have the heart attacks, the brain tumors.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I think it's about. This is because it's all about compassion. And there's going to be a time when we all feel compassion, and some people cannot hold it. They can't stay in their bodies because the compassion that they're feeling, they can't be with themselves because of the things that they haven't settled, the lack of harmony and balance in their lives.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You are correct, Amundo.
So, we need a new movement. Not only do we retune the world, we need Tears for Men. You see, and here's the thing, you know, it's, what's the word, perpetuated through these memes, through this particular one, Men Don't Cry, and women do it, and tease and belittle men who do, and men do it, and likewise tease and belittle men who do. All the time, there's violence going on, which could be alleviated by a few well-placed tears.
A lot of reasons for the violence these days.
Yeah, and all right. So here's Cher, since he's saying undiagnosed learning disability, undiagnosed mental illness, child abuse, child neglect, and most importantly, being bullied. Well, this all comes under abuse, and indeed. One of the things that abused people do is to, I'm not going to show you that you're winning. You know, I'm not going to cry. Do what you like to me. I'm not going to cry. You know, that's a way of coping. That's a way of dealing with it. It's a way of getting out of the situation. But once the immediate danger is gone, yeah, it's good to let them out, let the floodgates go. And I know there's a lot of, you know, there's some women out there that don't cry. So, it's not about boys and girls. Men and women should cry. How about that?
Agree. You know, we're emotional people.
Yeah.
And that's one of the valid emotions, is to go ahead and cry. If you feel the need, let it loose.
Exactly.
And don't apologize for it. Don't say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Do it.
Why do you want to call me a name, Olive? I'm not disagreeing. I'm not calling you an idiot. Just saying, if you... you know, these are not scientific ideas. They're very easily refutable, if you know what you're talking about. But crying is... You know, you see all these things, you know, people go through a whole series of misfortunes and sufferings, and they hold it together, they hold it together, they hold it together, oh, knock, knock, knock. And it comes to the point, there is a point, there is always a catharsis, and, you know, sometimes I feel that the reason that people have all this drama is to get them to the feeling of needing to cry. All the drama, all the details, all the this, all the that, all the he said, she said, it's just to get you to the feeling so that you can heal it. And the way you heal it is to discharge it by releasing a small amount of salt water that has been electrolytically charged, and we call them tears. There we go. What do you think?
Well, I was a bouncer in two different nightclubs when I was going to college when I got out of the Navy. And I never hit anybody. I always stopped them from hurting somebody. And some, most of the bouncers just wanted to fight. They wanted to just blast the person. So they were right at the, their hostility potential was just below the surface, waiting to break, like a flying fish. But I never did that, because what I didn't finish telling you was all of that music from those old 78 RPM records was at 432 hertz. It was before 440 hertz.
Exactly.
So I've been mellow all my life. And I'd let, I've been all my life far above the madding crowd.
Yeah, well, you've lived in a parallel dimension. Literally.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The parallelism is all to do with frequency. And if you're tuned to that frequency.
Don't get me started on frequency.
Go. This is frequency central here.
I'm telling you. I know you are. Yeah, 432 hertz is the correct tone for the heart chakra, not 528 hertz, as Horowitz proclaims. And he's attacking Dr. A. True Ott for being a 432 hertz guy. And Ott put his chromatic tuner on the sounds of Saturn, and it's broadcasting 528 hertz. So that's enough evidence for me to stay away from 528 hertz as the heart chakra, because that's pollutant. That's a vile intrusion.
Indeed. Yeah, thank you, Cortec. You just actually summed up exactly what I said without looking at it. But anyway, I know you're well in tune with us. So, yes, don't get me started about Horowitz. You know, like I was saying before, you know, I don't like to attack people. I don't like to say such and such.
I'm not attacking. You know?
But can I say, sure? Can I just say that... he's taken a very convoluted route to get to a even more tense note of 444 than the 440. So he's part of the
Mafia.
Yeah, this has got to be co-intel. Pro, it's throwing more information there as a confusion. Now this is what Hawk was talking about earlier on Strange Universe. He's saying there's so much information you can't just go for it now. You have to sift through it, because the next part of it is to overwhelm humanity with too much information. And so, if you want the good stuff, come to Revolution Radio, come to War Spirit Radio. We'll give you the good stuff, pre-sifted. You don't need to sift through the mud of it. We've got 70-odd hosts who are doing that for you. And so it's really worth paying some of your hard-earned cash. Do you earn money? Give us some. Well, that sort of thing. But anyway, here we have. Thank you very much for donating to Revolution Radio and indeed Wolf Spirit Radio, and come along to the webinar and donate some money to Alex and hear some amazing stuff from him. So let's just have a quick look at the they're talking about William Shatner. Yeah, Frog had wings. Yes. Ott had a wonderful hero. Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Dr. Ott has a show at this time on Friday, doesn't he not?
Yeah, I never miss it.
Ah, excellent. That's very good. So...
I've called in his show a bunch of times.
Excellent. So it's a strange function, and I think the whole thing about men being prevented from crying is a conspiracy that has come a long way down. And I think they probably found out that they could do that and cause violence to happen. Just imagine. Yeah. Men wouldn't go to war if they could cry. Though all that pent-up emotion would just discharge. And I think that's what has to happen.
you know, soldiers need to stop. I don't know if there are any soldiers on battlefields these days, but the whole drone thing.
It's the CIA.
Yeah, really, and basically, the CIA and the NSA, they're full of Mormons and other and Scientologists and other, how can we put this, heavily indoctrinated religions. They also promote this whole idea of macho men not crying. And so, I want to take it. You know, let's start a campaign. Tears for Men. Thanks, Deb. Good idea. How about when you cry and wet yourself because it was so funny? Yeah, why not? Wow, wouldn't it be? It would be a wonderful discharge to do that. To laugh so much that you cried, and you cried so much that you wet yourself, that's a real discharge. You see, what you got to understand is that yawning and crying and shaking and yawning are signs that the body is relaxing. As a counselor, I'm trained to look at these things. I'm trained to watch that when I say something, that kind of thing starts happening. That tells you that you're on the track. And so that's really where we want to go, because we need to heal. And the way we heal is by reducing all of this internal pressure. And we don't need to stick a leech in our veins to do that. In through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Simple as that. Really, it's just breathing. Now, actually, I said that I'd like to bring Nancy in, because she was, we've been talking about Alex and stuff. So I'm going to bring her in and see where she's going to take us, and see what she thinks of men crying and women crying and stuff like that. But she's been in the military, and there's a whole stuff about that as well. So Nancy's probably panicking around now, grabbing for headphones and microphones, and God, where'd I put those cigarettes, and where's the cat, and put the cat down, and get the dog fed, and they're not even picking up now. Ha! There you go. Never mind. Well, we'll continue and see what's going on with Nancy in a few minutes. So, yes, there we go. There's Colin saying, the only crosswords my father-in-law and I ever had was when he told my son, big boys don't cry. And picking up the twin sister and comforting her.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's perpetuated over and over again by both sexes. This is what I'm trying to say. You know, people blame the other whereupon we are the cause of what the other is being accused of.
Shifting the blame.
Exactly. Ownership. So, it's important to realize this, that, you know, it takes two. It takes more than two to have a tango competition. We see things, apparently, that other people did without realizing that we started it, and we're complaining about the response that they gave to our prompt, our provocation. And often that provocation happens as a result of our subconscious mind and our subconscious reaction to people. And again, we're going back to this this four gender thing, because our subconscious mind is simply the mind that is in the opposite pole of our current dominant polarity. So, what's going to happen is that those of us who were able to go left brain, right brain, and could hold on either side, say, you know, a musician or an artist or singer or something like that, or somebody who was, you know, doing some gymnastics or stuff like that, you know, extreme stuff. There are places where you're kind of in the right brain. You're moving in unison with reality. Whereas the left brain, the analytical side, is about post-processing. And most people have been there. Most people live there.
That's what our entrainment does to us, to bring us to that point of living in the left brain. But the polarity is going to change, and it is in the process of changing, and some of us have already been through it. And those times when we've been through it are what people call crises. It could be a bike crash, it could be a car crash, it could be you're made bankrupt, it could be you lose a job. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to crack you. Because that's what has to happen. You have to crack open. Like the world, perhaps the planet needed to have that asteroid hit it to make it expand to the size that it is today. To make that happen.
What do you know about or sense about the role that the pineal gland plays in balancing the right and left hemispheres?
I'm not really sure about the role it plays.
Okay, well, I'm posing the question. I'm promulgating the concept.
Here's the thing. If you are...
It's right in the middle, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. If you are focused in your pineal gland, you're focused in the center of the corpus callosum, the right, you know, the whole middle of the brain thing. Now, here's the thing.
Watch your language.
I was... What one?
I don't know.
Oh, corpus callosum. Yes. Bend over and show me your... No. If you look at the... all right, so the pineal gland is actually part of the soft palate, the back of the mouth. And the real trick is to see if you can feel your pineal gland from the inside. Feel it, because it's, you can track back, you can go back from your palate, and you can actually, like, you know, just imagine that you would sort of piling through the soft palate, that, you know, where your tongue is, and you just go travel back until you come to the middle of your head and then go up. That's the pineal gland, and you can feel it. Now, if you practice that in your meditations, that's really going to get you somewhere. Then you want to start seeing through it, because it's an eye. It is a third eye. It's got optic nerves. It's got retinal stuff. It sees ultraviolet.
It's right into your back of your eyeballs.
I wonder, you know the Goa'uld in Stargate?
Yeah, I do.
I wonder if the reason that it lights up the eyeballs is because it's lit up the pineal gland.
I think so.
Could be, couldn't it?
Well, I heard somebody say one time that the pineal gland, when it's calcified with all these things that they're doing to us with fluoride and 440 hertz and other things, other chemical treatments that they're performing on us, along with vaccines, that it's the size of a grain of rice, but it really, if it's healthy and the way it should be, it should be the size of a grape. Have you heard that?
Yep.
Thank God I'm not the only one.
Yeah, well, I think that's the idea. The idea is to cause it to, because it's water in it as well. There is some kind of, I don't know if it's salt water or if it's pure water, but there's water in the pineal gland. It's like I suppose it's like the humors of the eye. Hey, I wonder if you can cry from your third eye. That would be tricky. Ah, third eye tears, a very rare commodity.
I wouldn't discount it.
Did you see that picture Nikki posted today of a butterfly and a bee drinking crocodile tears? Just came on Facebook.
Is it a real
today.
Picture?
Yes, a real picture. And that they, you know, they were drinking this. There's probably a sweetness to it. Tears are salty. By the way, if you're wondering, that's the salt. You know, tears are the same as urine. Is the same as blood. It's just, it comes from the same place. That's where, if there's any part of your body that the liquid is coming out of, it's come out of the blood, you know?
It's just filtered it. Which is why it's always salty, which is why sweat and urine and tears all taste salty, because it's just blood, you know, just without the stuff, the red stuff and the other bits.
I'll stick with sea salt.
Yeah. oh man, I just thought of a new market. Blood salt. Oh man, that's sick. Anyway, you know, but anyway, I wonder if it's probably saline, the saline of the plasma of blood is has probably got like left hand and right hand isotopes of the salts. You know that it's like organic sugar. Is you know, when you try to synthesize something, you normally get like the dexter or the sinister, the left-handed or the right-handed, when you make it in the lab. But natural things are often mixed. You know, you've got a homogeneous mix of the left and the right. Maybe I've lost you. Do you get what I'm saying?
You know what the frequency of refined sugar is?
No, tell me.
528 hertz.
Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Mr. Horowitz.
Covered. Yeah, exactly. Well, I feel a Dixie Crystals. That was the brand down here in the southeast. I doubt if they had it up north.
Mm.
But they know what they're doing. They've always known what they're doing.
There you go. Len,
they've all got laboratories.
Who puts the horror into Horowitz? Anyway, that's not, as I said, I don't like to take people, you know, attack people personally, but he's part of a group, and I've been watching him for several years, and
yeah,
I, you know, it's funny, like I get to, like, sometimes I get to pick up people and like, oh, that's interesting, that's always good stuff, and then there are other people who I don't pick up, I'll look at them tomorrow or something like that, and then a few days later I you know, find somebody's outed them, you know. And it was like, oh, all right, interesting. It's like I'm not interested in Shillery. I just, you know, it doesn't resonate with me, so I'm not interested in it, so it doesn't come my way. You know, you see what I mean? Crocodile tears are indeed tears exuded by the gums, not the gums, the tear ducts of the crocodile during the eating process. So when they bite down on something, their tear ducts as well as the salivary glands activate, and so they're probably taking, yeah, it's probably a very early form of eye cleansing, you know. So when they eat, they flush it all through. So yeah, crocodile tears are real, but it's not because the crocodile is upset or anything. It's because it's eating, and that's why we say fake tears are crocodile tears.
Funny how people used to say all the time they cried so much they were crocodile tears. Well, if you ever heard that.
No, I haven't.
That's an American thing.
You have gaiters as well.
What's that?
Gaiters. Don't you? Alligators.
What about them?
Well, what's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile? Because, you know, we don't have either in Scotland. We have got midges, but we haven't got anything else.
Crocodile's got a really crooked mouth and a smaller bill, I guess you would call it, or mm-hmm. beak or something. And the alligator has a straighter, much straighter and larger and wider bill.
Okay. Because normally you don't stop.
I've lived in Florida since 1947, but we don't have crocodiles here. We've got alligators all over the place.
All right. And the best advice when you see an alligator?
They can run for a short distance up to 25 miles an hour.
Holy crap, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, so I'd keep your distance. Now, there was a cute video that my wife showed me. And it was an alligator. They throw chicken carcasses out to the alligator in their pond. Pretty good sized gator too, probably about a 12 footer it looked like. And the cat wanted the chicken too, so the cat kept smacking it on its nose, its snout, and he'd back down into the water. so the cat stood the alligator off.
Funny. Yeah, there's a few videos of like monkeys holding them off as well. You know, they all get clever. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Mexican standoff.
Mexican standoff. Crocodile standoff. Yeah. So, crocodiles. Now, I'm just trying to come, you know, cover some of the things I've been thinking about today, because it's really interesting. I had this conversation about the tears with a friend of mine this afternoon as he came round, and he happened to be an Irish guy. And about half an hour later, I got a call from Mick DeFish from Liffey FM, and Liffey is a suburb of Dublin. It's a local radio station that has an internet feed, and they took, you know, they interviewed all sorts of interesting people, and he called me up, said, "You want to speak?" So I started talking about the idea that men should be okay to cry. It should be okay to cry for men, and I wonder how long it would take. If that sort of anti meme, the meme that breaks down the big boys don't cry, maybe we could have adverts of Schwarzenegger, you know, crying with a tear in his eye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really, men.
I don't think Nazis cry.
Let me show you how men can cry. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, see, it's the Nazi thing. Maybe, hey, there's a thing. Okay, here's the thing. Can you cry if you can't or not? Mm-hmm, yeah. One way of telling. Anyway.
And I can explain myself, too, if you would like.
Go ahead.
Why Nazis don't cry? It's because of the black goo. The Nazis had it. They had it in storage. They had it in mines in Germany. They discovered it. I don't know. They're not the ones that discovered it, but they came upon it. And that's what the Falklands War was about, is that Thule Island, of all names, for the Thule Society, or Thule, however you want to pronounce it, that little island in Argentina had a laboratory, and the British blew it away. I don't know if it was an energy weapon or what, but the giant steel I-beams, it was up on stilts, the lab was, and all you can see is bent steel I-beams that it used to sit on. And there's a deep underground military base there and laboratory under that island. And that's where they got the black goo. And during World War II, or World War I, I can't remember. I think it was World War II. I could be wrong. It was one of those two wars. That's where they had a base then, during one of those wars.
That's very interesting. So, this is something that I've only just started finding out about, is the black goo, the Falklands connection, which is something that Simon Parks mentioned on our conversation last week. Said exactly what you just said, that the Falklands law was all about the black goo, nothing else. And
That's correct. I believe that's correct. I've done quite a bit of research on it at this point, and I'm not finished, but I'm continuing on. I was doing it today.
Oh, well, what nuggets did you mine today, if you wouldn't mind sharing
smoke,
those?
Holy, the black goo was deposited here prehistory by an alien, you know, existence of some sort. And that's what powers the ley lines, according to Harold Kautz Vela from Germany, and he was, Miles Johnston was interviewing him on the program Basis 46. And that man is smart, and he knows a lot of stuff. Not Miles is too. I mean, I think he's a genius. And this Harold Kautz Vela is a genius too, in my opinion. And I don't give that title out to very many people. Well, I give it to you easily.
Oh, bless your heart. I'm just a bald man. I'm just a bald madman. All right.
Well, you know, bald is not bad. It's aerodynamic.
Yeah, grass doesn't grow on a busy street. Oh, someone, Cortec, thank you, Cortec. This is how Arnie cries. He probably goes, boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo. So, yeah, so there is a big thing about, go ahead. Black goo, yes, Nazis.
Nazis don't cry because they have no empathy. Once the black goo gets a hold of you, you got no emotions to speak of that are worth anything. You know, except anger, you can have that emotion, but you can't have empathy. It's just not possible. And over in the Gulf of Aden, when they had that big toroidal water swirling around, there's a deep underground military base there, and was a black goo there, and a German submarine got some of it somehow. I don't know the details. They didn't tell us, but a lot of the sailors on that submarine died. And during the Falklands War, they took some back to England. They got some black goo and took it back to England. A lot of those scientists died. So, you know, it's just like the nature. If you don't show fear, it doesn't attack. But if you show fear, it does. And evidently that's what the black goo does. But in fact, if, and I'm starting to believe it, and I'm still researching it, that the ley lines are, or the energy comes from the ley lines via the black goo. So that's pretty darn interesting. So I'm not through following up on that.
Wow. So that's it's a whole thing. I remember years ago I used to watch X-Files, and I remember this little thing. You know, there's the submarine and the black goo and the guy with the eyes, and oh, that's creepy. And then do you have to have Skype to sign up for the webinar? No, you don't. Where are we? Oh, right, Nancy's on the phone. Right, okay. Let me just let's just call you in and call you back. It's not responding. Typical Skype. Oh, that's great. All right, Nancy, if you want to join the call, then we'll see if we can bring you in. I'll bring her out. Oh dear. No, I might. Ah, yeah, Doc, you're gonna have to call back. It's one of those Skype things because you're coming in on the landline. Give me a second, everybody. And I've noticed that it takes rather a long time for Skype to come back and come back to me to get this. Oh God, that's just typical. So maybe for those of you who are listening on Wolf Spirit Radio and on the other one, maybe I should play some music. Ridiculous. Oh no. Yeah, Skype is just totally useless. Just gone completely useless. So we'll see what happens. We'll be back with you in a minute. I can't end my call. It seems to be in a loop. Right, so I'm going to put a piece of music on rather than talk like an idiot all the time. So there's a bit of a Tosca. That we could have some other form that I could use on this highly, highly, highly sophisticated technological platform that we call Windows. Could we have something other than Skype? Or could we have Skype back how it used to be, like when it worked? Holy Jeebus. Holy Jeebus. Anyway, I know we spend a lot of time here on Revolutionary Radio talking about how crap Skype is, but Skype is totally crap. We're just having a quick moan about that. Meanwhile, where are we? We're back on Wolf Spirit Radio, and yes. Excellent, so that's good. Talk Alex some more. Right, okay, it's very easy. By the way, it's very easy to sign up to the webinar. It's just go to Wolf Spirit Radio. It's so easy. You can just post to the chat room. and then follow the links. And yes, I am back. I'll be back. And so, right, where were we? We've only got a couple of minutes left. Anyway, so we got more Alex Collier. Please come on Friday. Please come and support him. It's $12. You know, you could bring the whole family for $12. It would really, really help him. It would really, really help you. You get to hear Alex privately. Many years. It's been many years. And he's had continuing, ongoing conversations. He knows what's going on. And he knows what's going on behind what's going on. So, please come along. Come to the webinar. And, there we go. And, Dinosaur Fast Skype. Watch it, Doc. We've only got a couple of minutes left.
I know, but I just...
Go
is
ahead.
Nancy there?
Not quite, but go ahead.
Well. I was just hoping to say hi to her.
Oh, bless.
One of my favorite people.
Oh.
Her and Walt, both.
They are, they're lovely. So let's see if... we don't have time. Nancy, thanks for volunteering to come, but it's lovely to see you all. So thank you. Thank you, everybody who's come to the show. Have a thought about some of these ideas. I know these are kind of fresh ideas out of the brain of the pea, but Boys Don't Cry is a dangerous meme. Discuss. Because I think it's really important. You know, this is all about memes. This is all about mind control. And just to go back to the whole flat earth thing, it's a Catholic meme, and it's designed to weed out the Catholics. So, if you find yourself as a flat earther, just see, do you have a Catholic background? Is it like that?
Me?
No.
No, I never took up with the Babylonians.
That's right. That's right. You come on from a different planet. You come from Gallifrey anyway, so that's the way things go on Gallifrey. All right. I'm getting responses from people who have been signing up, and it's the easiest thing in the world. There we go. 2 minutes, no glitches. Took 2 minutes. Very easy. Sure was easy. Easy with PayPal. So thank you very much, I look forward to seeing you all there. You'll have a login name when you come in. You come in as your Google Plus account. You'll need a Google Plus account, but it's easy. Everybody's got one. Bless your hearts. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And boys can cry. Boys must cry. And girls must cry, too. Come and have a howl. Come and howl with the wolves.
Love it.
Lappy diddy baddy doo doo doo.